Joining me in the studio at the moment, Bob Gumbrell, one of the representatives from the Ashley Rakahuti River Care Group. Good morning, Bob. Welcome back into Compass.
Kia ora.
It's good to have you in here, Bob. How's things going down on the river at the moment? Is everything sort of, it's in midwinter, are we getting ready for the birds to arrive?
Well, from my colleagues say that there are some birds starting to arrive and suss the place out as to where they might like to nest in the spring. I mean, nest is the wrong word. Yes. I can't imagine a heap of stones in the riverbed or a little depression than a heap of stones as being particularly comfortable, but that's what they like.
That's what they like, and that's yes. what they do. And that actually could be a wee bit of a concern for those that don't know what a bird's nest on a riverbed looks like, or one of the braided riverbeds looks like.
Well, exactly. It just looks like a bit of riverbed, yes. and of course the eggs themselves, unless you know what you're looking for, you could so readily step on them. And of course the birds also are relatively well camouflaged, so it's so important to keep away from the nesting areas on the riverbed, particularly dogs and vehicles during the spring to early summer.
And we're not there yet, are we? But we're getting closer and closer. We just discussed off air, where is this year going? It's amazing.
Yes, it's got something to do with being old.
Oh, does it? Oh, okay, all right, that's fantastic. Bob, there was a seminar out at Lincoln University last month on braided rivers. Did you actually go there, or was there a representative of the Ashley Rakahuti go there?
Well, yes, there were several people from our group there. It has tended to be an annual event. I don't think it's formally annual, but it involves people that are interested in braided rivers. Yeah. Quite a few, like myself, old and not involved in a professional way, but lots of other people who are working in there. People from Department of Conservation, from DOC, from ECAN, and I think some of the power companies that are involved in the rivers.
Yeah, okay. So there's some pretty power heavy hitters that went there to this particular seminar.
Yes, I guess ECAN in particular, it is very much in there. Of course, one of the big things is about Canterbury, that we've got about over 60% of New Zealand's braided rivers in Canterbury.
Yeah.
So that braided river is really part of our basic scenery here.
When you're just flying from, say, I don't know, maybe Auckland to Invercargill or something like that, just fly down the east coast of New Zealand, it is absolutely amazing. Of course, if you go to Queenstown, you're flying over all of these braided rivers.
Yes.
They are amazing. Did you say 60 to 70% of braided
rivers? Yes, I think it's the number that Google told me was 64% of New Zealand's braided rivers are in Canterbury.
If it's on Google, it can't be, it's got to be true.
Yes, that's
so
right.
So some of the information that was shared at the seminar at Lincoln University, was it in particular helpful for the Ashley Rakahuti?
Yes, there was some specific information given about the river, which we actually knew about because our group's been involved in getting that. Mm. But I think one of the things that I became aware of was that we tend to look at year on year as to how successful the birds' breeding has been. Mm. And some of the experts said there, it's not year on year, it's decade on decade.
Okay.
It's a long-term view. So a bad year or a series of bad years may in fact not obviously they're bad years.
Yeah, just a blip, sort of stuff.
Yes, it's a blip. We have to look at a longer term process. Mm-hmm. So that was something that I personally took away.
Okay.
I was quite intrigued's the right word, about the impact of predators, particularly the Norway rat.
Yeah.
And that's one that we're looking at in particular on our river at the moment.
The Norway rat, describes a particular type of rat that has either got big teeth and a long tail, or a short tail and small teeth sort of situation.
Yes, I think it's got a longer tail. There are several species of rats, and the Norway rat, there's the Norway rat and the ship rat are the two most common ones.
Yeah.
And it's the Norway rat that is, as far as we're aware, is causing the main problem on our river. And we're looking at we have a group of people who do a lot of trapping along the river.
Yeah.
And Norway rats as one of their
one of the main ones.
Yes, one of the main ones.
Yeah.
Also, we've got we're investigating as to how many rats there are there and looking at other ways to find them using rat detecting dogs. There's a person in New Zealand in the South Island who has some rat detecting dogs, and we're making use of them sometime this
who's
year.
A good boy, eh?
Yes.
Norway rats here. Obviously they're one of the predators. You've got the feral cats as well, and humans as well.
The humans must be number one, because, well, we've brought all these predators in, but also we're not all that aware. I think many people are not aware, although I think this is changing, and some of our work really is publicising the importance of, as I said before, staying away from the river during nesting season, particularly where there are nesting birds.
And hence we have a chat to you every month, and we pretty much reaffirm that nearly every single time, and it's very important to do that. And I think you're right too, that people are starting to get the message. You'll always have the odd drongo, I think that's a correct term to use, that may not even know about it, maybe just cares more about themselves, or just hasn't investigated it in detail.
And it's the drongo's dogs that are the worst thing.
Drongo's dogs.
And then would you believe that some people land aeroplanes on the beach amongst the birds?
Wow. Maybe they have to. Running out of gas or something. Bob, what other information did you get from the seminar in particular?
Well, the extent of some of the predator control that's going on in the Mackenzie country.
Interesting.
Quite intensive trapping there, and they're finding that they need to be quite intensive in their trapping. Mm. And another little side of one was about people fishing.
Yes.
The number of days that people, or hours that people spend fishing, is diminishing, fishing in these major rivers, because they're not catching anything, and that's because of low flows, because of increased sediment, and all of this is affecting the prey that the fish that people catch live on. So there's not the small fish there, so there's not the fish that we want to catch, so the people aren't bothering going to fish there.
Isn't that just a wee bit sad? And a wee bit scary as well.
It is, yes.
Sad and scary. Bob Gumbrell from Ashley Ruggahurdy River Care Group. You look after the river. You're so passionate about what you do, and we're very, very happy to be involved with you, Bob. Have you got another one thing that you need to have a chat about?
No, that covered the main point. The other thing that is the large numbers of different occupations that are involved in river care, in the broader sense of the word.
Yep.
There's river engineers, there's botanists, there's environmentalists, there's wildlife people, and there's heaps and heaps of people who just like rivers, like most of the members of the river care group.
Absolutely. Bob, it's so good that you've come in. Humans are part of the solution to the issues on the rivers, and we're part of the problem as well, so we've just got to get that sort of leveled out, and it should be sweet.
Yes.
We'll have a chat to you again in another month's time, because we'll be counting down pretty soon to when some of the birds actually arrive.
That's right, and some of our folk are very involved in that part of the season too.
Yeah, yes. Fantastic. Well, Bob, go well. Thanks so much. I appreciate you coming into Compass FM.
And thanks for your time.
Compass FM.